a major league team in a major league city. The new crew.
This is to us. This is to Columbus. This is what this is all about. Unity, Columbus, history, the future, the new era, the new crew. Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Let's get weird. And it's all because you guys like to drink beer.
Live to Awesome Town, Ohio, you are listening to the Massive Report Podcast, your complete source of news and information for your Awesome Town crew.
And good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is. I get confused by daylight savings time. Welcome to it. This is the Massive Report, brought to you by Land Grant Brewing, live at Hendox every single stinking Monday night, usually at 7. Tonight, coming to you from a snowy awesome town, which confuses me and makes me sad in my face. My name is Matt Goschert. With me tonight, as always, Justin Bell. How's it going, Justin?
Good.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. Morgan Hughes is here.
I'll tell you what, Matt. It's great to be here on your stupid show that no one listens to.
Alex Static's here.
How's it going, guys?
And Greg Benson apparently ate a giant bag full of gravel before he got here. How's it going, Greg?
Apparently I did. Tomorrow night's karaoke is going to be all Tom Waits.
Oh, dear God. That's just disturbing. welcome into the show. By the way, we figured this out yesterday. Thank you so much again to Anthony Aces Precourt for being on last week's show. It was a lot of fun. How do you say it?
Tony Aces.
All right.
Seriously, not that hard.
Thank you so much to Tony Aces for being on the show. Justin and I were talking before the show. We had about 1,300 downloads this week, and we figured it out. If we average it out weekly, that's more downloads than Gone with the Wind has had, on average.
It's pretty good.
For the entire time that the production has been up. So I think we're doing pretty well.
And we all know that Gone with the Wind is the direct competition of the Massive Report podcast.
It really is. It really is at the end of the day.
A lot of people say that.
Gone with the Wind kind of sucks, Matt. It could have been 2 hours, but they stretched it out. Are we talking about the movie, or are we talking about something else?
Both. Kind of a boring week in MLS, and I want to kind of recap that before we get in. Obviously, there's no crew match for us to talk about, so we don't have to do what we normally do in segment one, which is recap the crew match. However, just looking at this right now, 3-0-0 ties on Saturday, not a whole lot of goals, a total of 4 goals scored in the entire league on Saturday. Couple of results of note, FC Dallas does beat Philadelphia by a score of 2-0. Vancouver tops Orlando by a score of 1-0, so a couple West Coast teams helping out the crew. And then we go into Sunday, and can anybody name the only team in MLS without points after week 3?
That would be the Chicago Fire.
It would be the Chicago Fire. I'm kind of excited about that. So Red Bull also pick up a win over DC United. So I just want to put this out to the table for anybody who got a chance. I watched a few of the games. I did watch with one of my coworkers most of the Red Bull DC game because he's a dirty, dirty Red Bull fan. And I hate him. Not really. No, I don't. But so for those of you who watched, what I know, Alex, that's all you do. Give me your thoughts on this weekend.
All I watched was the second half of Red Bull DC. I was watching El Clasico during the first half because I'm a terrible Euro snob.
Way to set him up and then knock
him
down.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
Sorry, guys.
That's totally fine. Justin has MLS Live.
I made the mistake of watching every single MLS game this weekend. Every single one. Some of them two at a time.
Oh, Jesus.
It was awful. I'm just going to put it out there. Last week we had Anthony Precourt was on the show, and we got into like what leagues we watch, and you know the word Amerisnob came up, and if you're an Amerisnob, God help you, because this weekend was terrible. The soccer, like, not only could they not score goals, but they were just boring, horrible games. And like the best game of the week was last night, Chicago versus San Jose.
No.
And that was a terrible game.
Yeah.
And I mean, and the one of the reasons why the soccer was so bad was because the Crew weren't playing.
Yeah.
The after watching this week, there's no doubt in my mind that the best team, the team that plays the best soccer in Major League Soccer, is the Columbus Crew. Mm-hmm. And anyone who says otherwise is just hates Columbus, which there's those people are out there.
Yeah.
They do. They can't acknowledge the fact that the best soccer is being played in Columbus. And it is. Even the beginning of the Los Angeles game, the team that maybe has a claim to playing better soccer than the Crew. After the first, I'd say, 10 minutes of that game, it was terrible to watch the rest of it. Just god awful.
It was super boring.
And the Chicago San Jose one, all the goals were scored off of stupid set plays.
Yeah. Right.
I do want to.
And the best goal scoring chance, actually, in that game, in my opinion. Well, I mean, Harry Shipp had a couple really good plays as a
11.
Chicago Fire. Yeah.
He's
but
11.
Eric Gehrig had a snap header.
Yeah.
That was really probably the best pure soccer play in that game. Yeah. And it was saved.
That's how. Yeah. That's
so
how
there you go.
Disgusting the play was.
Yeah. There were.
Can we talk about Eric Gehrig just for a second? Because he was a guy we all hated to see him leave. Well, most of us did. Most of us hated to see the fact that he was no longer in the Crew uniform. Yeah, we're happy he's playing for his hometown team and all that.
I'm not happy about that.
Well, no, I mean, we're happy for him. We're not happy to see him in a Fire jersey.
Personally, I wish leprosy upon him.
No.
No.
Bad Morgan, no cookie.
I don't have that power. Settle down, Matt.
Not that we know of.
God.
Anyway, no, the fact that he was completely overmatched last night in that game against San Jose, and the fact that he is pretty much anchoring the back line for the Chicago Fire right now speaks volumes as to how much trouble that club is in.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun rivalry between us and them this year.
It's going to be ugly.
Who will win?
It's going to get
no
ugly.
No one knows.
It really is going to get
ugly.
It's
going to be the Crew. It's going to be the Crew by Infinity
Zero. I know the Crew historically are very, very bad at Toyota Park.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would say if they don't win there this year, there's some kind of bad juju in Bridgeview that is preventing the Crew from winning there, because this has got to be their best chance to win and win big at that stadium.
It's tricky, though, because this is the same league where San Jose can go and beat Seattle in Seattle playing
down a man.
Yeah.
I mean, the league, the word parody is always brought up.
Seattle won the Shield 2 years ago.
Yeah.
3 years ago.
Last year.
What did I say? Seattle and San
ago.
Jose.
Yeah,
3 years ago.
3 years ago.
But Seattle won it in like 1976. So
the other team really that I was impressed with was FC Dallas. I think FC Dallas is really legitimate. They play a different kind of soccer than the Crew does. FC Dallas wants to go and run and attack, and so it's going to be interesting to see when we play them. I thought they were the better team, the best team of the weekend, actually. Yep.
I thought Red Bull had an okay match. It wasn't.
But even Dallas was up a man.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Both of their goals came when they were playing against 10.
Philadelphia stinks on ice. My God.
Always. They're not.
What is wrong with these teams? Seriously.
Well, Casey is fat and addicted to donuts.
I want to point this out because
that's one thing.
I thought this was interesting. Sunday, March 15th, there were two matches and there were 6 goals scored. Saturday, March 21st, there were.
There were
6 matches, and there were 5 goals scored.
The one thing that stuck out to me, and
it wasn't even a goal per match.
I have to mention this because I'm consumed with it, is the Orlando City Soccer Club
Solar
game.
Bears? Yeah.
Yeah, when the Orlando City Soccer Club Lions were playing, I watched, I think, 20 minutes of the first half, and then I watched the second half on replay, but there were 9 cutaways to the crowd. Just in the middle. They weren't all during the run of play. Sometimes, a ball would go out of bounds, as happens in the game of soccer. And immediately they would cut to video of the supporter section.
I didn't watch a lot of that match because I kept having to get up to fill the bowl.
Yeah.
So, but from what I saw in the highlights that I did see, it was Capo Cam was definitely a thing.
It's like Epicac.
Yeah.
Watching MLS 3.0. You don't even need to ingest it anymore. You're just like, oh, I think I may have drank some poison. Like, hurry! Turn on an NYCFC game. Save him. You just start vomiting everywhere.
Yeah, vomiting.
Yeah. It's awful.
Well, the nice thing is Orlando lost. So we do have that to be happy about.
Yeah. They didn't look like they could do anything, to be honest. I mean, score
Nor
anything.
Should they.
It was really bad. And, what it brings up is, what we talked about in the offseason, the expansion drafts and how the league makes these things happen to make certain teams better.
Yep. The Jackets are still terrible.
Yes.
They still haven't overcome, you know, becoming a new team, but an MLS...
They're still considered a new team.
Well, I mean, when you have teams from 1920-something...
But what it brings to mind is the fact that after the game yesterday, Chicago and San Jose, one of the things I kept seeing on Twitter was, at some point, the league is going to have to step in and make Chicago better. I saw so many people talk about this. This is
like
not
legitimate
not
people
kidding.
Or
yeah,
just fans?
Like people who are journalists.
Oh, my God.
Who consider themselves journalists.
What was their...
Well, the argument is, and the thing is, they're right. This is how the league works. This is an expectation that at some point MLS is going to have to step up because, and the rationale is this, that Chicago is such an important market in the United States.
Well,
such a big city.
There is no team in Chicago, though.
Major League Baseball's never done it for the Cubs.
It doesn't matter. This is MLS.
Listen,
this is Major League Soccer, and this is what Major League Soccer does. Major League Soccer is not a soccer league. It's a marketing league. How do you sell... It's soccer, this sport, this league, in certain cities where you get more television views.
It's Arby's franchises in 23 right. and as of Wednesday, which
so
we'll talk about
the,
later, 24.
This is the really crappy thing about what happened yesterday. Is the more that 22. Chicago stinks, the more Bridgeview. Likely it is that MLS is going to swoop in and drop some player.
But that's fine because you could have Brad Friedel playing long balls
Chicharito.
To Guillermo, who's feeding Stern John. And the minute those three or any collection of 11 or any number in between, hell, they could give them 16 Guillermos. The minute they get to Bridgeview, Illinois, and they go, wait, I was led to believe that there would be a Chicago involved. They're not going to play well.
Here's my question for you. It's because we know, and we're going to talk about this in the next segment a little bit, but we know that Minneapolis, Minnesota is going to be announced on Wednesday as the next expansion team, but... Don Garber's also adamantly stated that we're going to go over we're gonna have more expansion teams. We're gonna continue to announce expansion teams with the pressure because of the size of the media markets that LA 2 has had and now NYCFC has had, especially with New York not playing in New York, with the Red Bulls not playing in New York. How feasible do you think it is that we see another team playing at Soldier Field in the next 5 to 10 years?
I think it's entirely possible. It's absolutely possible.
Well, you can't get out of Bridgeview. You're chained to that forever.
Yeah, you are. Well, as
right,
the fire. No, I'm saying the fire.
As the
right.
fire.
The
right,
fire yeah. stays in Bridgeview.
Exactly. They'd have to have another franchise.
What I'm saying. Well, right. Is Chicago too? Is that a realistic possibility in this?
It could
league?
Be. I think it could be. Look, I mean, Chicago is what, the third largest media market in the country.
The third
after,
largest. Yeah.
After, it's the third largest metro area after New York and L.A. As far as I know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an enormous city. It can support two baseball teams. Granted, one of them's not very good. Sorry, Molly. But the dirty look
yeah,
I just
socks,
got.
Socks aren't very good either.
No,
yeah.
No. I mean, regardless of how good they are, the fact is that they probably could support two teams. If one of them's playing out of town, you want to get that downtown market.
But my point in my discussion, it's not a baseball argument. I'm not making a baseball argument here. What I'm saying is that there have been discussions already about Sacramento getting a team. Mm-hmm. Sacramento, Oakland, San Francisco, and San Jose are all the same metro area, and that's the fourth largest metro area in the country.
Those people in Chicago could support a new team that plays at Soldier Field. The Bridgeview Fire would die.
Yeah,
there would be.
Probably,
it would look like Chivas. It would look
like
Chivas.
I'm just curious. And I'm just obviously I'm spitballing here. There's not been anything announced, but I think it's an interesting discussion to have.
What do you know?
The fact that the New York City FC is a thing that exists, it sets a precedent where you have a team, as you said, where you've got the Red Bulls that don't play in New York. Now all of a sudden you want to serve that downtown market. You've got a team that plays in a baseball stadium now. Whether it's Soldier Field or whether it's wherever, you've got enough, you know,
Northwestern's football
patches.
Stadium,
right?
Whatever,
you got enough green patches of land that you can play, Major League Soccer in downtown Chicago.
Yeah, it's going to be the Chicago Sting. They'll play in Soldier Field or they'll play in Wrigley Field.
Or Chris Edwards will call us right in the.
They're
middle
calling
of the,
right now to tell me
they're literally doing that. Will you mute Chris Edwards and I'll message him in just a second.
And what they'll say is that this is 40 years in the make. Well, when they come into the league, they'll say, you know, this has been 40 years in the making. Chicago soccer has existed for 40 years just because the Chicago Sting started in 1974. And there you go. They'll be black and gold.
The only thing I have in opposition to the Chicago Sting and that MLS would have in opposition to that is black and gold.
Oh,
I mean,
they'd love
never,
that.
You'd never sell it. You couldn't sell it.
Oh, of course. You could.
You could sell.
I don't think they're going to do it.
So. NYCFC has proven to us you can sell anything, Greg.
You'd have it in Bears colors.
I think what's going to happen.
Blue and orange.
It would look exactly like that.
Yeah, it would.
It would be the Chicago Sting, black and gold with a little wasp. And who cares?
I think they're going to add Sacramento.
Yeah.
They're going to probably end up adding Miami eventually. There's going to be some team there, whether it's this Beckham thing or not. They're going to put another team in Florida. And then I think they're going to keep doing what they've been doing, which is just waiting for a team. They're going to wait for the North American Soccer League to develop a fan base and develop a team,
mm-hmm.
and then they're going to pick them off. And they're just going to keep taking whatever the best team in NASL is. They're just going to be like, you, we want you. And the owners are always going to go for it because it's more exposure, more money. And so they're just going to wait for the fan base to already be developed, wait for all that stuff, and they're just going to keep picking off whoever it's going to be, whether it's, you know, probably not the Cosmos, but they're going to, you know, take whoever.
Mark my words, if Indianapolis gets that stadium, that will be one of the ones that they start grooming.
And I think they're going to look – I think they're still
I believe gonna, that wholeheartedly.
I think they're still going to look for a Las Vegas team. I don't know why, but it seems to be something Garber's got like a fascination with, having some team in Vegas.
It's because he doesn't enjoy having water at games.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, or maybe he just is like a compulsive gambler or something. But
that's fair. That's fair.
But I think that's what they're going to keep doing, is that following that pattern of just kind of waiting for some other company to develop the market to a certain level and then pick them off.
Yeah, if there's anybody listening in one of those markets that's eventually going to get a team, and you're a soccer fan, can I just ask one small and seemingly impossible thing from you? Can you not? Please, God, can you not try to make up for lost time by beating the crap out of other supporters and setting things on fire and really trying to, you know, can you just not do that? I mean, be crazy about your team. Like, literally nobody's more insane for a team than I am for Columbus Cruisers SC. But, dude, it is okay that you just started, like, as a team and as a fan. Just chill out. Indy 11.
Honestly, Orlando City. The next time somebody says no pyro, no party in my presence, they're getting a highball glass upside the head. I'm just saying.
My favorite,
Tony Galifo.
Maybe my favorite soccer chant of the last 5 years was at the Crew Indy 11 match last year in Akron, where Indianapolis kept chanting, come on, you boys in blue. Come on, you boys in blue. And their team was wearing red.
And so I'm gonna
swear here. I'm sorry. Our response was, you're wearing fucking red. They'd go, come on, you boys in blue. And we would respond, you're wearing fucking red.
Yeah.
That was my favorite chant of all time.
I know I've told the story before about Indy 11, but there was a guy who tried to fight me going into that game. Because he was carrying flags, I was carrying flags, they were not going to let him in. And I was like, dude, yeah, it's fine to bring flags in, security guy. And he's like, get this guy away, I'll kill you, Columbus, I hate Columbus.
There are still...
This is the first time we've ever played each other.
Like, literally, their team had never won a game.
Yeah.
They had never won a game. I had been to more Indy 11 games than that guy, because we went to the scrimmage 2 years ago at Obetz.
That was fun. That scrimmage was fun.
Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
And then I had been to more games than their fans had.
There was one Indy 11 fan on Facebook who, in response to something that I said, was like, yeah, I remember you from that game. I don't like you. I'm like, I've never met you in my life. I have no idea who you are. I was wearing black and gold that day, and apparently because of something that I said while looking at you the wrong way, now all of a sudden you're like on social media going, oh yeah, Greg Benson, screw that guy. What? Come on.
That's hilarious.
And they're not even terrible. Like, Orlando, like, there's police involved now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, dude, leave my
alone. Well, there was police involved in Indy 11 when the one guy threw that flare. Yeah. But it was like, it wasn't even Akron cops. It was like Stowe PD or Rent-A-Cop or whatever it was.
Let's think about
this. Work in that game
for just a second. They were playing. Indy 11 was playing. I'm sorry, Orlando City was playing Vancouver.
Yeah,
right.
Huge rivalry there.
Yeah, that's literally the farthest away in North America.
Yeah.
From each other.
That's why they hate
that
him.
That you can get.
Because they're so far from Orlando.
Why don't you live closer to us, you
yes,
jerks?
Exactly.
Can we call that the Darby something?
It is oh, God,
the,
yeah.
The Farby Darby?
The Farby Darby.
Something like that? What is it? Why the hatred? Why do you beat somebody? Why?
Oh, because
spoiler alert, I cover this in 2 seconds.
Unless
time.
You are...
because you're 12.
That's it. Unless you're an immature, purple-wearing idiot.
All joking aside, the problem is that these quote-unquote people, I'm not convinced, but they're trying to make up for lost time. They see, you know, the ultras from San Jose who have been around since 1909, which is a long time, or 06 or something. Seattle's been 1700s at least.
Yeah.
And then they get jealous and they're like, "Well, we got to if we can't have history, we have to beat the crap out of somebody." It's like being a Browns fan
so
or
we
a
can
Bills
start,
fan.
We can start tweeting Columbus 1492, right?
Yes.
We should start doing that.
At this point, I think it's a competition to see who can make the most absurdly unrealistic forming year.
In 1492, Columbus is going to beat the crap
Justin,
out of you.
Justin, can we form 1492 Ultras? Can we make that like a thing?
It's on.
It's on.
With a Z on the end.
We'll have t-shirts tomorrow.
I would buy a massive
We'll have t-shirts tomorrow.
T-shirt. Yeah. I would.
1492 let's, Ultras.
1492 guys, Ultras are just
no
a,
scurvy, no party.
That's the yoke tag, Justin. Yeah. We just came up with a shirt.
You know... Yeah. I want the
Santa Maria on a shirt with like a guy with a flare on the bow.
Oh my God! Oh, so many
ideas. I actually may have a drawing already of Christopher Columbus holding a flare. I might have that. I may have made
why
a TIFO of that.
Why am I not surprised?
In the background, there's like three guys like crippling and life-threatening diarrhea.
It may be a thing already.
I just want to point out to anybody who may own a local t-shirt company that we've copyrighted this. So don't even try.
I'm snagging the 1492 Ultras.
Scurvy no party.
Scurvy no party is fantastic.
All right, let's take a break, guys, so we can get Chris Edwards on.
Of course, there's that one thing where we were searching for Columbus Crew back in... This was, what, like 2009 or whatever? Someone did a search for Columbus Crew and found, the most popular story was Columbus Crew... Columbus's crew brought syphilis to the New World.
Yes. The crew, there's a crew spider that just like posts everything that's like Columbus
that's
crew. And occasionally it'll post like, you know, William Hesmer out for 3 months and, you know, crippling diarrhea plaguing Columbus's crew.
That explains why our chant is Columbus clap, clap, clap.
Yeah. Hey-o. Fair enough. Hey-o.
Hey-o.
All right. We're going to take a break. We want to talk a little bit of international duty. To do that, we're going to get an international on. Chris Edwards joining us from China after the break. It is the Massive Report. And we're back. It is segment number 2 of the Massive Report brought to you by Land Grant Brewing Company live at Hendox. As Willie graces us with his presence for just a half a second as he walks across the room. Joined by Chris Edwards from mainland China. How are you doing, Mr. Edwards?
I'm doing well. I've been keeping up to date with all the very important World Cup qualifiers over here in the lower regions of the Asian Football Confederation.
That's pretty cool. So we've got a lot to talk about in this segment, and I kind of wanted to bring it in with you first. Obviously, you can kind of react to all the other stuff that we're going to talk about, but to bring it a little crew-centric to begin with, we have had a few call-ups of our own, some of which are actually impacted by or will impact kind of what you're talking about. Justin Meerum going back to play for Iraq for a bit. Will Trapp with some national team call-ups plus Waylon Francis. So I wanted to kind of start with you and get your thoughts on the Asian qualifiers, Chris. And what do you see Iraq doing? That's the other thing that I wanted to bring it back into the crew a little bit.
Well, I actually wrote a blog on one of my two blogs, oscommentator.wordpress.com. Nice little plug in there. Putting in a little hypothetical on where I think the World Cup and Asian Cup qualifiers will go. I've actually wound up with China and Iraq in the same group. Mm-hmm. Which would be a fantastic set of qualifiers for both countries in terms of their quality and the level of play. China, of course, performing fairly well, sitting sixth or seventh in all of Asia right now, and Iraq sitting ninth when I last checked. So that for I can see Iraq qualifying at my in my point of view probably second in the group and being one of the better runner-ups in the whole. So they would go to the third round of qualifying and automatically qualify for the Asian Cup. I actually went to a World Cup qualifier last week.
Oh, did you?
I did.
Who'd you go see?
I went and watched the high stakes game of Macau against Cambodia.
Wait, where was it?
In Macau.
Oh, I was hoping you in took Macau. A holiday in Cambodia.
No. So I took a ferry from Shenzhen over to Macau. Mm-hmm. And just to give people an idea, Cambodia was, in January, ranked 179th in the world. Macau was ranked 186th.
So it's like watching Chivas from a couple of years ago play Chicago from this year. Is what you're saying?
No. It's worse than that.
It's worse than matched, that. Right?
I'm looking. It would be like watching
any Qatar match ever.
Lansing United against
India.
Let me see.
You're just googling random PDL teams now, aren't you?
No, I've just pulled up the map of the U.S. Open Cup against, I don't know, was it L.A. Fusion?
Okay, all right.
Yeah, oh, no, PSA Elite. Let's go with that. I think they could probably give both side a fair go. It was just abysmal.
What was the attendance like at the match?
Less than four figures.
Wow.
Oh, jeez.
So it is like a Chivas match.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, Cambodia got about 10,000 to the first match. Mm-hmm. And it was all over. It was 3-0 in Cambodia. And from what I could see, the second leg was barely advertised. One of the funniest things was that one thing, I could not buy a shirt, a scarf, anything at the game. They weren't selling anything at all. And the local bars had no idea the match was on. It was just so poorly advertised. It was incredible.
Wow.
So, yeah, I've turned up, and I've just walked in. Tickets were free.
Wow. Are you serious?
Yeah. Tickets were free.
Wow.
One thing that also came with that game is that Macau national team striker Leong Ka Hong of Wofu Taipo was linked to TFC after the match.
He's the only player in that team that plays outside of Macau.
Are you sure
he plays
that
in
says,
Hong Kong?
Are you sure that says Wofu or is that a typo?
However, the highlight for me, there were two highlights in that that first qualifying round, and one of them was Bhutan qualifying.
Bhutan ranked
209th in the world,
dead last in the FIFA World Rankings, I believe.
That's right, 209th. Beat over two legs, 172nd ranked Sri Lanka.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, over two legs. They beat Sri Lanka 1-0 away.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2-1 at home. Beautiful kit as well. They were selling them in Bhutan, I'm told, at $8 each, $8 each. And the journalist I was following on Twitter said that he could not buy people strips for them because his suitcase was already full from his requests from mates at home before he got on Twitter.
Wow.
Yeah. But apparently there's someone in the UK that's looking to import them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And also Timor-Leste, or Greg and I would know them, East Timor also qualified.
Yeah,
5-1 over Mongolia.
Wow.
Yeah, Taiwan got through. War Chinese Taipei. India beat Nepal, and Yemen got up 3-1 over Pakistan after the second leg was cancelled due to violence in Lahore. So it's going to be interesting when it all kicks off. Obviously, Australia's got friendlies. This week, we've got Germany. We're playing in Germany and in Macedonia. And it should be a good one.
So I heard no Tim Cahill, according to Greg Manson.
No Tim Cahill for these.
He got injured playing for Shanghai Shenhua over the weekend. I've I've made an executive decision to go up by a high-speed train in June to go and watch him play against one of my old teammates. Well, one of my old colleagues from Perth Glory, who's playing in China as well. So I'm going to go up to Shanghai in June to watch a game between the two of them. Well, their two teams.
You should definitely document that. Do some photos and things like that, and we'll stick it on the website. That sounds like a cool thing.
This is totally the frontier of soccer hipsterdom.
Yeah, it is.
It really is. Oh. I mean, seriously, like, who's your team in the Hong Kong Premier League?
Right.
I mean,
that's
going to
be when Sporting Kansas City completes their year of sucking, which, by the way, I predicted.
Yeah.
There's going to be a flight to the Hong Kong Premier League from all of those people wearing those like weird shades in the south stands.
Do I need to start communicating with all the SKC fans about and educating them about Hong Kong football?
I think
you should. Yeah,
I think
you should just and just keep telling them it's for their own good. That's the biggest thing.
So, okay.
So who hasn't qualified? I mean, is qualifying over at this point? Because I have not been paying attention to the Asian League. Okay.
So this is just the first. They've just finished the first round. So the teams that are out are Nepal, Pakistan, Mongolia, Macau, Brunei, and Sri Lanka.
Okay.
So there are now 40 teams out of 44 that go on to the next stage, and that draw takes place on the 14th of April.
As we were saying off the air, Chris, it's kind of amusing, at least to you and me, probably to maybe three other people listening to this. But that Pakistan and Sri Lanka were both eliminated from two World Cups within the same week.
Yep. Fantastic.
The cricket and the soccer World Cups, they're both done.
Yeah. And India's still in this one and still in both of them.
At least for the next few hours. I don't know how long. When's the game against Australia? I can't remember.
Don't know, don't care.
Okay, fair enough. Apparently I care more than you do.
Chris, show yeah. you, man.
Yeah. That's very un-Australian. That's very un-Australian of you to not know about what's going on in the Cricket World Cup.
That's because, you know, my sport takes place between sort of Thursday and Sunday. Same as you.
I know the feeling.
All right. Yeah. So we've got as far as all that goes, we've got a couple of friendlies coming up. You know, with Justin Miram playing in Iraq, and I'm actually frantically Googling right now to figure out who Iraq's playing. Do you have that? Do you have that up there, Justin?
I did have it, but I lost it.
Oh, so.
Let's check it out.
Here. You were too busy Googling teams in the Hong Kong Premier League.
I was trying to find my team, and I settled on
Justin. We can talk later.
No, I settled on Sun Pegasus because I like the.
They're one of the good teams at the moment.
Yeah, the black and gold.
Chris, can we get Sun Pegasus shirts delivered? Because I want one of those.
I'll help you guys out with that.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, they've actually got their League Cup. They've got a League Cup final coming up in a couple of weeks, but it's during the week. It's a midweek fixture. But I've been talking to a fan group that talk about Hong Kong football. They told me to come over in May for their FA Cup final.
Oh, man. I want one of those shirts super bad.
Their coach is Jose Ricardo Rambo. That's awesome. This gets better.
Oh, my God. This is like the best thing ever. We're going to start Sun Pegasus.
Anyway, where were we?
We're talking about Iraq, and we're talking about how, okay, so Iraq. Go ahead, Morgan. Were you going to say something?
Yeah, Matt, you can go
say anything
to hell.
No, Iraq has two friendlies coming up, Friday and Monday, both in Iraq against the Democratic Republic of Congo. So that is where our good friend Justin Miram is headed.
I figured out why I lost the Iraq information that I was looking at, because I spelled it Irag.
Irag.
I have a problem.
That's not the right thing.
Did you know there are CONCACAF World Cup qualifiers going on at the moment?
Yes, there are.
Yeah, but nobody pays attention to the islands.
As we speak, Nicaragua is playing Anguilla, or Anguilla, however they pronounce it.
And St. Kitts and Nevis is playing the Turks and Caicos Islands.
Oh, I didn't know that one. I was just following the... Yeah. It happened to pop up on the World Cup Twitter account as I was scrolling by.
It's 1-0 to St. Kitts and Nevis.
Oh, it is.
Or Nevis, Nevis, whatever it is.
I can't believe pro wrestling's on at the bar and not the... Turks and Caicos match.
Well, I mean, the thing that we that impacts the crew is, of course, that Merrim's not going to be playing.
Well, Merrim Trapp and Waylon Francis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Waylon Francis and Will Trapp, of course. And so, like, we're going to have some – this is a test of the depth of the crew.
It is.
And I think we're going to be okay. I mean, watching Red Bull yesterday, they're a good team.
Mm-hmm.
But they also seem to be – they're not a great team, okay?
They're a good team. They're not world beaters.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, one of the problems, I think, is with Francis out, New York has a lot of speed on their flanks.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be interesting to see what Berhalter does.
Yeah.
Like, is he going to go with a Chris Clouty to replace Francis? Is he going to go with Chad Barson?
Mm-hmm.
These are going to be good tests for the team. Did we want to talk about like the national, like these guys' roles with the national?
Yeah,
team?
That's kind of what I wanted to get into that, and then fourth segment we'll get into kind of the preview of the match against the Red Bull and talk about that a little bit more.
Because Justin Merrim is becoming this hero, it seems, to the Iraqi fan, which is really amazing.
Hey, Chris, can you... you got a lot of background noise right now, Chris.
Yeah, that's all right. I'm hearing all sorts of things. So you guys have got Denmark in Denmark on...
Right.
Was it Thursday? Yeah. Well, Wednesday, Thursday. I've got that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, obviously, Waylon Francis has got Costa Rica against Paraguay.
Mm-hmm.
Which could be that'd actually be a good game to watch.
It'd be a very good game to watch. I don't know. I don't think we're going to be able to get that on unless we're getting some sort of pirated internet feed. But
I
think
we could probably work that out.
Yeah, we should. We'll get with Willie and get it all figured out. As far as that goes, Willie's good at pirating the internet feeds. Because Wednesday's my birthday.
And in a random fixture, 3.5 hours on a high speed train up the road from me, China against Haiti.
What? That's...
Yeah.
Wow. Well, good on Haiti for traveling. I don't know. That's interesting.
Haiti's gonna Haiti.
That reminds me. I think I worked it out why the current World Cup qualifier is not on tonight. It's nobody's business but the Turks and Caicos.
Yeah.
Oh, we all laughed at Justin's point. Haiti's gonna hate.
So yeah, two U23 games, Bosnia and Herzegovina on March 27th, and then that's in Bosnia, and then we've got March 31st versus Denmark in Copenhagen.
Huge. This is really big.
It is,
because that team has a few MLS stars, including the guy who scored for San Jose yesterday, and Luis Gil.
Yeah.
Will Trapp's going to – look, this is where he becomes Will Trapp the legend, I think. He's going to have to. He's going to have to help get this team to the Olympics, and then he's going to have to play very well in the Olympics.
Yeah. Well, this is where Will Trapp cuts his teeth. This is where he gets the experience against a lot of different players.
And one of the things that it was funny, I was listening to the best soccer show last night, and they were talking. It was weird to hear them talk about to bring up Will Trapp twice in that show.
Mm-hmm.
One was they brought him up. It was kind of odd. They brought him up as to say it's a shame that he wasn't taken by the full national team, the first team. And then they went on to say how it was great that he was picked up by the U23s. I mean, what do you want from this guy? Really? What do you want from him? I know what the point was that they were trying to make was that, you know, was there something that Klinsmann was saying about not taking Trapp on the first team because of supposedly what he said? No. That wasn't what happened. This isn't some kind of Landon Donovan-esque conspiracy.
Yeah.
This is where Will Trapp needs to be. He needs to be playing for the U23 team. And like I said, he needs to get this team. He's going to be the leader of this team.
He needs to get this team. I mean,
this is so important. This is unbelievably important.
The last Olympic qualifying cycle was embarrassing for the United States. It was embarrassing that we couldn't qualify out of CONCACAF for that, and that it came down to the wire. And Will Trapp is among others, but is one of the guys that's going to get this team back to the prominence that it needs to be in order for the United States to be in the Summer Olympics.
He's going to buy.
No,
he's
I'm going to jump in here. It was even worse for Australia. We couldn't even score a goal.
But you're used to that, aren't you?
Where were you on the where were you on the ladder?
So
that we couldn't even score a single goal in Asian qualifying for the Olympics.
It was bad.
A little bit of breaking news here, you guys. I'm seeing a kind of a war going on Twitter between the well-established 1492 Ultras and the even older 1491 Ultras, which is a year older and more.
This is not what ultra culture needs in Columbus.
It's the last thing.
It really isn't.
Justin, I'll tell you what. It's the last thing that the 1492 Ultras need to be going through right now. The presence of another and an entire year older supporters group.
This can't continue.
From Spain?
This is from Spain.
Yeah.
Spain or Portugal?
Well, one of the things...
Funded by Portugal from Spain.
Portugal...
Yeah, the 1492 Ultras are more aligned with Spain, whereas the 1491 Ultras are more aligned with Italy.
Well, it's a joke, Justin.
To be fair,
500 years of history flushed down the toilet by this upstart group.
I mean, can we all just get along?
Italy is, correct me if I'm wrong, a city in Spain?
Yes.
Okay.
That's true. Yes. That's true.
In Rome.
I do want to go take a break here. Chris, thank you so much for being on the show. We certainly
appreciate
it. I've
got no plans. I don't have a class till Thursday.
You don't have a class?
This podcast is going to be the longest one.
Podcast continues until Thursday. then in that case, we'll just need you to not talk when Greg's doing his little thingy.
Oh, no heckling?
No heckling. But we're going to take a break.
That's what Twitter is for.
We're going to take a break right now and go do something and figure out what's going on Twitter. We'll be back in a couple minutes. This is the Massive Report.
Welcome to the bye week edition of Cards Against Insanity, so named because the crew didn't play this week and because at some point over the weekend my voice went bye and called me Felicia for some reason. So yes, the crew were off this weekend, which makes sense because we've still got an odd number of teams in MLS. Oh, no, I don't know why it's a thing either. Remember, if you've got something you want to bring to my attention, use the hashtag MRCards. Opinions are mine and don't necessarily reflect those of the Massive Report or Columbus Crew SC, but chances are you can't hear me right now. Anyway, maybe that's for the best. For those who can, yellow card to Orlando City FC, as promised, and to the fans who assaulted traveling Vancouver Whitecaps fans during Saturday's 1-0 win by the Caps down at the Kumquat Bowl or whatever it's called. I get my Florida stadiums named after fruit confused. Reports coming out of Orlando were that Whitecaps fans were taunted by the home supporters, and then when the taunts were ignored because they're Canadian, some away fans, the reports didn't say how many, were physically assaulted. The team gets a card because in addition to being partially responsible for the conduct of its fans, the stadium does not have an away fans section and decided to lump the Whitecaps fans in with everyone else. Yeah, real smart, guys. Not like Orlando fans have a reputation for violence at all. Not like their two supporter groups got banned by the team until they signed a new code of conduct and formed a new one. You might want to look into two arrangements for next time. On the flip side, serious respect to the fans who made the trip from Vancouver to Orlando. That is a hell of a hike. Nor on tour, we have no excuse not to go to all the places now. Yellow card to Joey Castleberry, the Bloomsburg University baseball player, sent out a tweet about Little League World Series star Monet Davis. It wasn't family-friendly, so discretion is advised. Castleberry tweeted from his since-deleted account, quote, "Disney is making a movie about Monet Davis. What a joke. That slut got rocked by Nevada," end quote. Did I say baseball player? I meant former baseball player. Bloomsburg kicked the star first baseman off the team. And that much makes me wonder if he started playing first base because there's no way his dumbass ever got that far with a girl. Next up. Yeah. Next up. Has it been 40 seconds yet? Okay, red card to Steven Gerrard. Moving on. Yellow card to whoever's responsible for the WWE wrestling ring bed photo that's been doing the rounds on the internet all week. For those who haven't seen this thing, it's a mattress with steps leading up to it, ring posts at each corner, wrestling ropes, and a WWE logo on the box spring. This gets a card for one reason and one reason only. As much fun as diving into bed from the top rope would be, the bed is in the corner of the room. Irish whip someone into two of these four sets of ropes and they're going straight through the drywall. Good TV, bad floor planning. Yellow card to Martin Schmidt, the manager of Bundesliga side FSV Mainz, got a little handsy following his side's 2-0 away win at Augsburg last week. Schmidt was caught on camera grabbing the backside of a female press officer from the club after the final whistle, who not only didn't slap him, but laughed and hugged him instead, because apparently this is normal behavior in Germany. He was also overheard inviting her to Schmidt's sausage house, if you know what I mean. Okay, I made that part up. But speaking of the well-known Columbus establishment, any crew front office employees who might be listening, please don't try that gesture on Erica Kress. She probably doesn't like it. Andy Lochnane, on the other hand, who knows? Your mileage may vary. Finally, before my voice gives out, a red card to everyone who's up in arms over San Francisco 49ers linebacker Chris Borland's decision to retire at age 24 after just one season of pro football. That's the pointy football kind, by the way. Borland announced last week he was quitting the game just 1 year into a 4-year contract with the Niners due to fears of brain injuries. And social media melted down, calling Borland an ingrate, a pansy, and a whole bunch of other names I refuse to say on the air. Look, not only has Borland pledged to pay back 3/4 of his $600,000 signing bonus, but the increasing awareness of CTE, or chronic traumatic encephalopathy, basically the deterioration of the brain due to a lifetime of head trauma. If a guy weighs up risk versus reward and decides he doesn't want to become a vegetable in later life thanks to a dozen or more concussions, or worse, a manic depressant who eventually takes his own life like several former NFL players have done in recent years, that's his call. It's a legitimate concern, and no amount of emotionally holding onto your favorite Sunday afternoon pastime and claiming it's the be-all and end-all, and anyone who chooses not to play it as a lesser man is going to change that. Get over yourselves. We've seen this in our own sport. Thierry Henry refused to play on artificial turf for fears of injuries associated with the playing surface. Henry decided that prolonging his playing career was worth sacrificing a few games a season for, and he was pretty much at the top of his game right up until he retired. Would we lambaste Clint Dempsey, Jermaine Jones, or formerly our very own Chad Marshall if they were to call it quits early rather than risk blowing out their knees on an artificial pitch? Of course not. We find other reasons to ridicule them already. But Borland, who grew up in the Dayton area, did his research. He weighed up his options, decided that there was no future that involved him both playing professional football and not putting himself in danger of an early death from a debilitating brain condition, and he walked away. He walked away from probably a lifetime of fame and certainly millions of dollars, because long life and good health were more important. That decision not only takes brains, it takes a lot of courage. The same kind of courage we applaud professional athletes for when they play through injuries or overcome any other kind of adversity. Sports, all sports, come with some kind of inherent risk. For every Chris Borland, there's going to be someone who is willing to shoulder the burden of those risks and take the field with caution thrown to the wind. And that's their decision, too. And we should respect them for their decision, just as we should respect Borland for his. And then find reasons to ridicule them for something that they did on the field. Hey, fair's fair. My name is Greg Benson. You can find me on Twitter as Gregulator614. Facebook is That One Guy Greg. And if you're at Hendox Pub, you're in my seat. A reminder once again, use the hashtag MRCards if you've got a suggestion for something I should be including on next week's show. I promise I will sound a lot better by then. In the meantime, play on. But remember, I am watching you.
And we're back. It is segment 3. It's weird doing this without audio. Because I had to pretend that I knew exactly how long Greg's outro was going to go. Before we went into segment 3, we're back on the Massive Report. It is brought to you by Land Grant Brewing Company. And, Morgan, do you have anything to say about Land Grant Brewing Company?
Matt, you know what? I'm glad you asked that. I was at a place called Land Grant Brewing Company last night enjoying delicious cups filled to the brim with alcohol manufactured in the back of their warehouse, which is also occupied by various homeless people without names. And I'm telling you what, you expect it to taste a little like salt and, clothes maybe you found on the side of the road. It does not. It does not. It tastes like delicious beer, Matt, because that's what it is, and that's what they make. Land Grant Brewing Company, the best non-homeless man tasting beer since 2014.
Thank you so much. So I do want to talk about this a little bit. And Chris, are you back with us?
I'm back with you.
Welcome back. I do want to talk about this for a little bit. Breaking news earlier today that we touched on earlier on the show, Minneapolis, to be specific, cited as the 24th team in Major League Soccer. There's going to be an announcement, a formal announcement. You remember back when they kind of tried to hide this for a little bit and didn't tell everybody what it was before they made the announcement?
No.
So you know, TFC'd it up?
Yeah, no, it wasn't really – it never really happened that way. But here's the question, and this is kind of interesting. There was an article, and it was on minpost.com talking about this. It was actually earlier today, 9:47 a.m., by Peter Callahan of Callahan Auto Parts, right out of beautiful Sandusky, Ohio.
I make car parts for the American working man. Wait. Because that's what I am, and that's who I care about.
I lived in Sandusky. Is there a beautiful Sandusky, Ohio?
No, it's Cedar Point. Literally just the beach outside of Cedar Point. That's the only part.
I can tell you a few things about that beach,
part
actually.
The Sandusky is at the top of Millennium Force when you can see into Canada.
Who keeps letting Molly talk? She is just awful.
Also, Canada's horrible, hun.
Also, when you're 300 feet above Sandusky and you're not actually touching it.
Yeah. Yeah, anywho. That's fair. But I do want to touch on this. Governor Mark Dayton said about the Minneapolis thing that they're not going to get a stadium. Also, the mayor of Minneapolis, Betsy Hodge, said no, and then numerous state legislators as well have said, guess what? We're not going to build a stadium for Major League Soccer. Parlaying off of this. Major League Soccer's coming to Minneapolis. Is MLS 3.0 just completely... I mean, we've talked about this a bit, but is it just complete... Is the stadium deal not a prerequisite anymore?
I thought they had land already for the stadium, and I thought they would. It was just a matter of public versus private funding. I think they'll still get a stadium. I think it'll be downtown. I actually think that they're going to run this thing better than a lot of other teams because, like we discussed earlier, I mean, they already have a fan base. They have kind of an infrastructure in place already. They just have to kind of bring it up to this next level. If they have the investment already and they know what it costs to get into the league, I don't see why they can't put down another fraction of that on a stadium.
Just like everything else in Major League Soccer, the rules change as time goes on.
Yeah.
And those rules are completely dictated on however the ownership group of Major League Soccer is feeling at that moment. So when Don Garber says, you have to have a stadium, this is what Don Garber sounds like in real life, by the way.
Yeah, real life.
You gotta have a stadium downtown, you gotta have a soccer. He meant it in that moment, and it's subject to change. Per league policy, the legitimacy of those threats were not disclosed.
Is it telling though that the press conference is at Target Field?
One more time, Matt. I'm sorry. I was too.
Where the Twins play.
Awful.
Target Field. Okay, so.
Oh, God.
Oh, no, not again. No.
Yeah, so here's the deal, right? I remember. I'm going to go back to when I was a very little kid.
Yeah.
The first sporting
was
event.
Was this in 1492?
Oh, close. This will totally age me. But, like, I remember going to a baseball game at the old Metropolitan Stadium in Minneapolis.
Before the Metrodome.
Yeah, we lived in northern Iowa. And I was very, very little, and seeing Rod Carew play for the Twins. So this was a long time ago.
Yeah, God.
Jesus,
that really does age.
What they did was they tore that down because there was the weather in Minneapolis this time of year is awful. And into April, it's awful. So what they did was they built the Metrodome to house the Twins and the Vikings and just kind of be a multi-use.
And the University of Minnesota.
Yeah, multi-purpose
stadium.
And it functioned very, very well. It was an incredible stadium. It was really great. And then they lost the North Stars.
Yeah.
And ever since then, the Twins and the Vikings have alternating years, it seems, threatened to leave.
Mm-hmm.
In order to keep the Twins there, they built another outdoor stadium, Target Field, which is a beautiful baseball stadium.
Yeah.
The new rumor is that the Vikings, in order to stay the Minnesota Vikings and not move to become the Los Angeles Rams or whatever, are going to be – they're going to build a brand new stadium that's going to be possibly $1 billion stadium. I mean, this is going to be an enormous stadium.
And by they, you mean the taxpayers.
What I've read over the past few years is that Ziggy Wolf, who owns the Vikings, is going to pay for a large amount of it. But anything that happens in terms of stadium building is going to be somewhat subsidized by the taxpayers. And so there were two potential ownership groups that were trying to become the owner of Major League Soccer. One of them was Ziggy Wolf and the Minnesota Vikings, because what they wanted to do was create a situation kind of like what Blank and the guys in Atlanta have done, which is create an indoor dome stadium where part of the year it'll be football, American football, NFL, and the rest of the year it will be MLS for a significant part of the year. And that's what the Minnesota United people were fighting against. There was two parties that were trying to become that. So this has kind of come upon quickly that they chose the team that's not allied with NFL. But it makes me think that what's going to happen is that in order to make sure that this goes smoothly, that they're going to have Ziggy Wolf and the Vikings actually own the stadium that this team plays in. It would not surprise me at all if it's something like that, where you end up with an indoor stadium that has maybe a retractable roof, somewhat like Atlanta, playing on turf. I can totally see this happening. It's what MLS said they would not do, and they're doing it.
Well, how do you get, and this is just, you know, looking at this from an outsider's perspective, from a complete outsider's perspective, you have a few games a year where potentially Montreal may play in a dome, right? In Montreal, now don't get me wrong, I understand Minnesota's cold, I understand Minnesota gets a lot of snow, that sort of stuff, but you can't say that quantitatively Minnesota, Vancouver, Toronto,
Columbus,
Chicago, Boston,
Bridgeview,
Philly,
Foxborough.
Yeah, exactly. Colorado are that much different. And how do you sell that? I mean, well, what's the point there?
I'll say that it's not that much different, but it is a little different. Minnesota, I cannot describe to people like the bitter cold that happens in the upper Midwest. Mm-hmm. It is just different. The wind like blows for miles from off the Rockies, and it just hits you. It cuts you in half. I remember going to school and living in northern Iowa, not that far from Minneapolis. Going to school when the wind chill was like over 50 below zero. Under 50.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Sorry,
the number. Every time I went to school in my entire life, the wind chill was over 50 degrees below zero.
But that's what it was. And like if they called off school, it was because it was something enormously crazy was going on. Like, yeah. So the weather is a little bit different. I see your point, though. It's not that much different that it should make a huge difference. But it is different to the point where I think they. Like, you will not see games being scheduled in Minneapolis for the first, like, forget about first 3 weeks. I'm talking, like, the first month.
But it's not have the same exact lateral you have, or very close, you have the Green Bay Packers, for example. It's a different sport, but I'm talking about for fans. I'm not talking about that's the only thing they're concerned with.
Yeah, but people from Wisconsin are crazy.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good point.
I just want to jump in here. On the indoor stadium.
Give us 1 second, Chris,
I was just going to say, like, it's different because, like, you know what it's like for us to go to soccer games.
Yeah.
When it's cold. Like, there were 9,000 people in the stands for that playoff game last year, and a lot of people put that on the fact that the weather was...
It was chilly.
It was chilly.
It was definitely chilly.
Chilly?
Yeah,
it was
like...
It was awful outside.
It was spitting snow, but it was 30 degrees. Like, take that down by 40.
Yeah.
And there's your opening day, or there's your playoff game
In
Minnesota. Yeah. And you're not going to get fans to show up.
It would make for the weirdest MLS Cup ever. Chris Edwards, you were going to say something.
Okay. Indoor stadium... can work, and there's a fantastic example in Morgan's hometown of Dunedin in New Zealand.
Correct.
Yep. And Greg might know a little bit about this one if he remembers. It's called Forsyth Barr Stadium.
I know about it. Yeah, I know a little bit about it.
Yeah, it's actually it's basically a plastic enclosed indoor stadium. Of nearly 40,000 people.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it takes 30,748 for rugby and soccer, 36,000 for concerts, and 15,000 for their quarter horse congress. And it's, it's Dunedin, which is right at the south of New Zealand.
Yeah.
We're talking, 45 degrees south. So it gets pretty freaking cold down there. So it is doable. We're talking, I mean, yeah, sure. Only, you know, the coldest they get is 37 degrees Fahrenheit, but it is an option for them.
Yeah.
It is, you know, something like that would be doable on a large scale.
Is
it and
a...
because it's...
Go ahead, I'm sorry, it is, Chris.
Yeah, because it's plastic, it means natural grass can grow.
Is it a blow-up stadium, or is there actual structure around it? I mean, is it something like a...
There's
like,
an actual structure.
Yeah, so it's like the old Hoosier Dome in Indianapolis, where it's just an inflated roof with air pressure.
No, it's not inflated roof. It's a clear ETFE roof. Same material as at Allianz Arena in Munich and the Water Cube in Beijing.
Greg's showing me pictures now, so I'm getting more of an understanding of it. I was thinking when you said plastic, growing up as a kid in Indiana, I always remember just the sheer amount
crystal
of air
meth.
Pressure blowing
out
of the
Hoosier
Dome. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
No, that's a pretty fantastic setup there.
It's a cool design. As I understand it from what I was reading earlier today, it sounds like they are looking at a soccer-specific stadium near the Target Field area.
Mm-hmm.
And from, I forget who was reporting it, it might have been Brian Strauss, but I can't remember. Somebody was saying that their sources were saying they were pretty far along and that it was basically a done deal to get that land based on the fact of how fast it was moving, that their sources thought that there was no way MLS would make that deal unless it was basically finished.
Yeah.
Which, given the fact that they've had these debacles with Miami and New York, I would hope that MLS would have learned their lesson by now. Whether they have or not, we'll find out. But I think they're going to get a stadium, and I think it's good for the league to have a team in Minneapolis. I think that's a part of the country where there isn't soccer. And weather aside, I think, you know, get the game everywhere it can be, whether it's freezing cold in April or not.
I completely support having a team in Minneapolis. I think it's going to be a good move for the league. I think Minneapolis is a good market for it, and whether it was, you know, Minneapolis or somewhere else in the upper Midwest, I mean, there's not a whole lot of population centers up there that you could go to. I mean, unless you want to go to Winnipeg, and nobody wants to do that.
Well, one thing this definitely does is this: there will never be a FIFA calendar if there's a team in Minnesota. There will
unless
never,
it's a full dome.
Unless they have a dome.
Unless it's a full dome.
And so if that's even a possibility, even a remote possibility, then there has to be some kind of enclosed.
But you still look at, I mean, Toronto and Montreal could certainly move to Rogers Center and Olympic Stadium for specific games. They've done it before. But, you know, that's a weird situation in and of itself, having two different home stadiums for a team.
Yeah, and if a frog had wings, he wouldn't bump his ass when he hopped. Matt, let's talk about the real stuff here. Okay, this is a 12-hour drive from Columbus, Ohio, right?
Yes.
We got a close rival, man.
Yeah. All right. In MLS terms, yeah.
Yeah.
This is great. Great Lakes Cup. That's what we were talking about last week with Tony Aces. It's like, you know, Great Lakes Cup would be freaking awesome.
It would be.
Columbus, Chicago.
Serious question, though.
Yeah.
Which conference would Minnesota be in?
Big Ten.
Big Ten. Yeah, definitely the Big Ten.
Well, one of the things I read was that there were people who were talking about the possibility of having 3 8-team conferences.
Yeah.
Where's the 24th team going to be then?
Well, there's right now they're talking between.
Well, we've got 22 on the board if you include Atlanta and LA.
Yeah.
Minnesota becomes 23.
Minnesota would have to go to the West because Atlanta would be in the East.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but LA also goes to the West.
Miami, Sacramento, and San Antonio.
Well,
and then there's St. Louis.
That takes it to 25.
Well, that's the whole thing. The league has had three conferences before.
Yeah.
And that would be a situation. I could see there either being one of two things, either being an Eastern Conference, a Central Conference, and a Western Conference, or there being an Eastern and Northern, a Southern, and
Hell,
a Western.
They should just make it into 1.0, 2.0, and 3.0.
They should.
Honestly.
And we only play double-doubles against the Galaxy,
yep.
Against the Revs and the Mutiny, and then Seattle
and the Puerto Rico Islanders.
And the Puerto Rico Islanders. Just for fun.
Do double-doubles against LA mean that we get in an outburger?
We do get in an outburger in that
yes.
case. Well, I do want to talk about this real quick because we're talking about expansion before we go to break. So we've got Minneapolis is in. That's a foregone conclusion at this point. Don Garber's talking about expanding past 24 teams Where is your next expansion team? I'm going to go around the table. We'll come to you last, Chris, before I get to say where mine is. Everybody already knows the answer to this.
I
but
know yours is, you dirty boy.
Justin, you first.
I've always said, when this question's asked, Detroit.
All right.
I want to see
why. And why? See, that's the other reason.
I want to see a like a real rivalry for the Columbus Crew, SE.
Do you think that
I want to see a real rivalry. And I think if Detroit is that, it would there would be this... You could match it up. You could play it, say, like, as a close to the end of November, the end of the season. You know,
OSU Michigan.
Yeah, and then have it early in the season, too. You know, so I just think it would be huge. It would be incredibly awesome. And I would love, still like to get one of their scarves, the Northern Guard scarves that they
made. All right. Morgan.
Detroit, 1,000 times Detroit. I hate Michigan with every fiber of my being. I want to hate them with the one fiber that is left, and that's my soccer fiber. Keep it real buried down below. Can't get to it unless you have a couple drinks in me, then I might show it to you, Matt. Back on point. I already hate Detroit. Like, you wouldn't have to create a cup. You wouldn't have to sell it. You wouldn't have to play it around the Ohio State-Michigan game. They already have that, you know, that stupid, silly little scarf that says F Ohio.
Yes.
Because of their Rust Belt thing that they play with Youngstown and Portsmouth or some crap.
Yeah.
You know, that's been going
Kelly's
on
Island
for 18 entire months. Do you know that there's a supporters group from 1491?
Yeah, seriously.
Talking about it, but the answer is honestly Detroit, and God, 1492 ultras are such pussies.
1491 ultras, I'm pretty sure, are just a bunch
Alex.
Of posers. I don't know.
Alex, hit it.
Detroit.
Detroit?
I would love to see Detroit. I, unlike Morgan, don't have any real hatred for Michigan because I don't really care about Ohio State.
Yeah, me either.
And I feel really left out as a citizen of Columbus, Ohio. And so it would be cool to kind of like join in on that and be like, yeah, man, screw Detroit. Screw Michigan. And also, it would be really good for both teams because you would get the Michigan fans coming to the Detroit games. You get OSU fans coming to the Crew games. That game would be a sellout, home and away. Every single time.
There would be...
And it would be angry. It would not be... It would be a fun atmosphere.
There would be bodies lining 23.
Yeah.
Like, more than usual.
Yeah,
more than usual. More than because I live on 23.
More than the normal vagrants.
And it's nothing but prisons and heroin.
I mean, we're talking about Detroit, Major. There are plenty of bodies to go around, Justin.
Oh, Greg.
All right. Well, first of all, I do agree. Detroit, yes, it would be. But not wanting to copy absolutely everybody else, Phoenix.
Why?
Phoenix. Because I would love to see. No,
it's just a haven of misery and scorpions.
I know, I lived there. But I seem to attract havens of misery, Sandusky, Phoenix, whatever.
Yeah.
But no, in all seriousness, why that? Because all of the challenges that they would have with needing to put Minnesota in a stadium where at opposite ends of the season you need to worry about the weather, MLS is going to have to face that same thing with Phoenix for the entire rest of the year. Because I don't know if you've seen the weather report.
I've been to
Phoenix
in July, yes. I'm well
right. If you've ever been to Phoenix in July or ever been within 500 miles of Phoenix in July or even looked at a map and seen Phoenix, you bake a little bit. You turn one shade darker just looking at Phoenix on a map in July and needing to play that wherever it would be, whatever facility, whether they did it at the Cardinals Stadium because they got natural grass or whatever it was. Whatever they decided to do, or however they did it, that would be as much of a challenge as what they would face with Minnesota.
Yeah, but Arizona is an awful place, Greg, full of awful, awful people.
It's also full of a 5 million person media market.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And Chris has apparently got a bunch of friends on the show tonight that we can hear in the background. Chris, tell us your thoughts, and then mute your damn mic.
Personally, I have issues with the league expanding beyond 24 teams, but since I don't have a choice, I'm going to be contrarian. I'm not going to say Detroit. I'm going to say New Orleans.
Oh, nice.
That would be cool.
Amazing road trip.
Okay, now there's one of the big reasons is that, one, there's a lot of people down there, but if marketed correctly, you could attract people from Mississippi and Alabama and Arkansas from that whole southern region.
None of those people have money.
None of whom think one whit about soccer, by the way.
No, just call them that. Just say it's the SEC. Just say it's the SEC.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the New Orleans SEC. That's the name of the team. Exactly. Soccer exclusive club.
You plug it as an SEC, you plug it as a college, you know, as a feeder team to all the colleges around there, and the kids would come in, and you have topless cheerleaders.
Oh, topless cheerleaders. I could go with that.
Yeah, and you give out beaded necklaces all the time.
And my choice for expansion...
Ryan's choice.
Here we go. Puerto Rico Islanders.
Oh. Because
I want to go to Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico.
Yeah, that's fair enough. No, thanks, Ryan, for stealing my thunder.
I didn't quite catch that.
Yeah, no,
something's expanding over here.
My thought about expansion teams is Kalamazoo, Michigan, because screw you guys. No, I would like to see Detroit in the league, but I'm gonna backpack on Ryan here, and I've said this on the podcast before. San Juan is one of the largest media markets in the United States.
Okay, Matt, have another drink.
It's a true story. It's
by the way,
it's not in the United States.
Puerto Rico was discovered by the same guy who founded the 1492 Ultras.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
come on,
true story.
That is a fact.
That's a true story, Morgan. You can't deny that.
Listen.
No, it's a true story.
I'm not saying that. I don't have any idea who manages the 1491 Ultras Twitter account.
Ponce de Leon. That's who.
Yeah. All I'm saying is
Amerigo
that
friggin' Vespucci.
That person has had a tragic life living his entire life with a girl's name, and he's an entire year older than the 1492 Ultras.
So, yeah, Amerigo Vespucci. That guy's a dick. Anyway, we're going to come back in a few minutes here, and we're going to preview Crew Red Bull.
Yeah.
Maybe. Or we're just going to talk about more weird stuff. Brought to you by Land Grant Brewing Company. Thank you so much for giving us money and having tasty beer. This is the Massive Report live at Hen Docks. And we're back. It is segment 4 of the Massive Reports brought to you by Land Grant Brewing. We are at Hen Docks tonight. Morgan intensely watching Snoop Dogg walk into a WWE ring right now. So let's bring
I'm
you back.
I'm actually watching Ryan Gear respond to Snoop Dogg walking into a wrestling ring, which is far more tragic.
Yeah, with no audio on, which is even weirder. So let's go back into this real quick, because I talked about this during the break, and I do think with Minneapolis getting a team, I'm going to go ahead and just give you guys all the MLS brass that listens to this. I'm going to give you one for free, and that is that you, with Prince being from Minneapolis, Minnesota as well, you should name the team the Purple Rain.
Bum, 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 bum.
I'm just saying. Yeah, Sam's not here to do the sound effects tonight. So, but I do want to talk about Crew v. NYRB. Can we call them New York 2?
I'm always confused over what it is. Is it RBNY, like Red Bull New York, or is it NYRB?
Yeah. I think it's Red Bull.
Whatever.
What I know is that
or is
they
it
now
the
have...
Metro Star?
Isn't it East Rutherford Red Bull?
Yeah. It's not East Rutherford anymore, but...
I thought they made it official NYRB because that's what the Twitter page is.
Okay. All right.
If you type in RBNY, it comes up. The other thing is that NYRB is also the New York Review of Books.
A lot of people make that mistake.
Yeah,
I make that mistake.
I would
all
love
the time.
To see the abuse that the New York Review of Books gets after a loss.
Well, I'll tell you what, Chris. The review for Land Grant Brewing Company just came in, and it got 5 stars because it's delicious. You should drink that. So, back to you, Chris, in China.
So, Chris,
well, on
I
the
wanna,
note of
yeah.
mistaken identities, there's some poor girl in America who has the Twitter handle Chelsea.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, and that's just her name, and she cops it after every single Chelsea loss. Oh. Chelsea FC loss for no reason other than it's her name.
That's unfortunate for her and Chelsea fans. Yes. I do want to talk to you about this first, Chris, because we've got the the match against New York coming up. What do you think is going to happen? What's your thought process here?
No Henry, no Cahill, no East Rutherford Red Bulls. That's my theory. I think we'll come away to 3 points on this one.
That's super concise, and I appreciate that. Greg?
Yeah.
I think the Crew are playing too well. This kind of feels like a trap game a little bit. It feels like all the signs point to a game that the Crew should win, and that might be enough reason why they won't. But I think the only thing that could possibly hurt them is the bye week and getting them out of their funk. But I really just, I'm clutching at straws there, trying to find ways to temper my enthusiasm. I think the Crew win, and I think the Crew win by multiple goals.
Alex?
New York are a good team offensively, although they're still missing Thierry Henry. But Lloyd Sam and Bradley Wright Phillips are still really good players. But defensively, they have a lot of issues that maybe weren't fully tested this weekend.
Yeah.
I think the Crew will be way too strong for them. I think the Crew will win.
Morgan.
Matt, I'll tell you what. I've been crunching the numbers all day, all right, at work. I was sitting there, and there were tons of numbers. I'm like, what do they mean? So I put them into a cruncher. And, you know, I took a look at
were
the metrics.
Were you just playing number munchers at work?
I stopped paying attention to you so many years ago. back to my important point. It told me, Matt, the number crunchers said that the Crew SCs will beat Metro Star Red Metro Stars, 5 soccer goals to 1, 0 soccer goals.
We're not doing predictions.
Back to
you,
Matt.
Thanks for
that's
ruining.
My prediction.
Thanks for ruining the rest of the show for
1491 me, Morgan. Ultras for life with a Z on the end of it.
Justin Bell.
I think New York's better than I thought they were going to be.
Yeah,
like considerably, but much. They played pretty well yesterday. I mean, at the beginning of the show, kind of railed about how bad MLS was this weekend, and it was bad. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah,
but Red Bulls were one of the better teams, and you know who looked really good was Dax McCarty. I think you know he's kind of got this little boost that they as players get sometimes when they're named captain of a team.
Yeah,
and he was everywhere. It's going to be interesting. Again, you know, the Crew are going to be missing some key players. Tony Chani's going to be back.
Yeah.
Which is going to be maybe a good thing. And he's I would assume that he's going to be paired with Mo Saeed in lieu of Trapp.
Mm-hmm.
So those two guys will basically kind of be paired up against McCarty and Sasa Question.
Yeah.
Who's a player we don't talk about much. Who's actually a very good player.
Yeah, he is.
And the fact that he has been the replacement for Henri as sort of the star on that team, I think is important. Also, Sal Zizo is playing for them now.
Yeah.
And he was kind of he played a bit part for Sporting Kansas City the last couple years. And I've always been impressed with him. I think he's got sort of that MLS mid-level MLS quality. Mm-hmm. He's going to be around for a long time and be very good. And then, you know, one of the things I thought was funny yesterday was Dane Richards came off the bench for NYRB.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like seeing them play years ago, you know, when he played for them, when we played them in MLS Cup. Yeah, Dane Richards.
Yeah.
Is still playing for the Metro
still
Stars?
Playing
he
soccer.
Is, yeah.
Still can't do much other than run very, 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 very fast. But he's still playing. And it was kind of
shut
shocking.
Up.
No, it was a real thing.
I don't believe this. 1491 Ultras for life.
And so I don't know. I think it's going to be a very good game. And I think we're going to have one of the things I've heard is that it's going to be very cold.
Yeah, it's going to be super cold. The snow has been, according to AccuWeather meteorologist Molly, who looks at weather.com every single friggin' day, the snow has been taken out of the forecast, but it's still going to be in the 40s/mid-30s.
Yeah.
Speaking of the cold weather, Nicaragua is now 5-0 over Anguilla, and St. Kitts Nevis is 4-2 in front of Turks and Caicos Islands.
Oh, my God. Thank you, Chris.
Chris with the Google save. Thanks, buddy.
Caicos.
Caicos.
Show us your Caicos.
That was Chief O'Brien's wife on Star Trek The Next Generation is what you were going to ask. Yes.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, it was Caicos, right?
I thought it was Keiko. The hostess cupcake of some sort.
Yeah, no, it was the dude, the surgeon from Scrubs, and Chief O'Brien from Deep Space Nine's wife, Turks and Caicos.
Ugh, Matt. Remember earlier when Molly said that she wished you would step in front of a car?
She says that every night.
Ugh, God.
Yeah, that's a true story.
Your shit.
That's a true story. Red Bull did have a good showing against DC this last weekend. Two goals. Lloyd Sam and Bradley Wright Phillips scored. Bradley Wright Phillips with a goal and an assist in that game. Obviously, and he's been dangerous for a while. What do you guys think? And I'm going to start with Justin on this to get some actual informed perspective. and then we'll just devolve into dumbness. But what do you think the crew need to do to shut him down?
Shut Bradley Wright Phillips?
Yeah.
That's a good question. He had a couple really interesting kind of creative plays in that game yesterday that looked almost like he'd learned something from Thierry Henry. The thing that I would do is let Pogatetz be Pogatetz.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And, like, see what he can do. If he can match up with him and just kind of body him a little bit and be around him, I think that's going to be – that will do well for us. Again, Parkhurst and Pogatetz to me are so very impressive with the way that they hold their position. They do this, though, when Will Trapp's playing as it kind of in between them to take off some pressure from them. But without him – without Trapp there, it's going to be very interesting to see how those two guys do. But again, I think they nullify anything that Red Bulls can do.
Yeah.
They're that good. So I think the real threat from New York Red Bulls is going to be Sasha Kljestan. I don't know if we have somebody, maybe Tony Chani, who can kind of mark him and really stay with him and shut him down, because it's hard to know exactly what he can do. In only his third game of the season.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It'll be interesting to find out.
All right, Chris.
My thinking is that Bradley Wright Phillips isn't the problem. The problem is the people that are servicing him.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually need to make sure that, because Bradley Wright Phillips isn't the sort of player that goes back and gets back and tackles people and tries to get the ball off them. He relies on players feeding him the ball. So what we need to do is make sure that the people that feed him the ball aren't actually providing him the ball. So as long as our defense is starving him of the ball, he'll be left alone up top. That solves the situation. So as long as our defenders are keeping Justin understands what I'm on about, I'm sure, because he's an intelligent one in the group.
Yeah, true story.
Yeah. So then it shouldn't be a problem.
All right. Morgan.
Thanks, T-Bone. if we're talking about stopping people that have serviced Bradley Wright Phillips, we're going to be here all night. That guy gets around. Hi-yo, I'm going to go back to my dad jokes meeting club now. No, I think, honestly, the weather's going to be kind of nutso when we're missing, Waylon Francis and Chani's coming. I think that, like Greg alluded to earlier, this is like a, maybe a trip-up game. I still think we're going to win, but I'm seeing Mad Dog, like, blow out someone's ACL, like a two-footed challenge. Like, he's going to have a lot to deal with. Some things are going to happen. You know he's going to be drinking the night before. Mad Dog, go Mad Dog. Back to you, Matt.
Alex.
Yeah, what?
Bail us out of this.
Justin kind of took the words out of my mouth with Pogatetz. I think he's going to really be crucial in shutting Bradley Wright Phillips down. The person who I'm most worried about is Lloyd Sam. I think with the wingers in general for New York, I'm also kind of hesitant to how Grana will do in the cold weather. He hasn't been in the United States that long.
Yeah.
And so he's been used to playing in 70 degree weather all the time. It's going to be interesting to see how he handles the cold. I hope he'll do well, but I still think the crew will win, despite Bradley Wright Phillips and all that stuff, but the wings are the problem areas for me, much more so than the center forward.
All right, Greg?
Yeah, I think Alex is right. I think it starts at the wing play rather than going through the middle. I mean, Bradley Wright Phillips is going to get his touches regardless of how much you try and shut him down in the midfield. The best that you can do is limit the amount of ball he gets to get into scoring positions. Chris Klute, assuming that he's the guy that they go with on at that left back position, he's going to be tested. Hernan Grana is going to be tested. I think those guys are going to have a harder time catching up with the wing play of the Red Bulls. But again, this is one of those things where the Red Bulls have a lot of issues defensively, and this could be, you know, to paraphrase from another sport, this could be like a fire wagon style of game where it kind of, even if you give up two, if you score four at the other end, you know, you get the 3 points regardless. And actually, that's kind of what I'm thinking the score line might be. It might be, there might be a lot of goals in this one.
Well, damn it, Greg, I'm going into score predictions right now, and you just wrecked
that's
it.
That's the perfect segue.
All right, Chris, score prediction. Groovy Red Bull, go.
2-1 to Columbus.
All right, Justin.
I agree with Greg. I think it's going to be high scoring. I'm thinking like 4-3, 4-2, 4-3. Let's say 4-3.
Morgan.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for having me back. I'm really excited to be here. I'm going to say Columbus Cruisers 3, Metro Stars Red York 2. Both of their goals coming on penalty kicks. Mad Dog. Back to you, Matt.
Alex.
3-1.
3-1. Greg.
4-2.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and say, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say I asked our favorite New York Red Bulls fan at work today.
Alex.
Alex Rosa.
Alex Rosa. He's from Jersey.
Yeah,
from Jersey.
So he's permitted.
He's a legit Red Bulls fan.
And he said Red Bulls 3-2 over Columbus.
When did he move here?
Just recently.
Yeah, a couple of years ago.
All
right,
I'll allow it.
Yeah.
No, still try to kill him.
I'm going to say, just because Alex Rosa said that, I'm going to say 6-1 Columbus. Because I'm a silly person, and that's a silly thing. Ryan Gear, you got a score prediction.
2-1 Crew.
2-1 Crew is what Ryan Gear says.
SC. Molly.
SC. Molly. Jesus.
She's trying to work out what she's going to say.
She's literally didn't realize what we're talking about the entire time. This is the best producer we've ever had, folks.
Guillermo.
Suck it, Sam. What's that?
4-3
4-3 to Columbus. All right.
Guillermo has a prediction, if you wouldn't mind. Let me get him in here.
Hello, Matt. I'm here back from Aston, showing my son here at Lagos Lego Store. All made of Legos, too. There are cruisers.
Thanks, Guillermo, and back to you, Matt.
Oh, dear God. All right, so we're going to go ahead and wrap this up right
Guillermo
now.
Guillermo's never going to appear on this program.
Yeah, no. Well, he has already, but yeah, he has already.
Again.
Again, well, no, because he's
you mean
in Argentina.
Other than just now?
Yeah, he's in Argentina, right, so it's difficult for him to appear on the show. We're going to go ahead and wrap this up right now before Morgan gets us in any more trouble for everyone on the show tonight. Ryan Gear and Molly, who showed up and did some awesome stuff. Molly, you turned the gears for us. Thank you so much, Molly Thomas. Appreciate you. For Chris Edwards in the China place, the place that is China. Justin Bell, Morgan Hughes, Alex Stanek.
1492 Ultras.
Greg Benson. My name is Matt Goschert. This has been another edition of the Massive Report. The past is an old armchair in an attic. The present, an ominous ticking sound. And the future is anybody's guess.
1491 for life.